You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Hour number three is here inside Studio 34, alongside the Fantasy Executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. We spent a lot of time last hour talking about Sammy Watkins and if he'll be franchised by the Los Angeles Rams. What to expect from Sammy Watkins, when you would take Sammy Watkins. One of our panelists here, all in again.
But the price is, I'm going to go in, but it's going to be a discounted price. I don't care what you tell me. Unless he's, look, if he's going in the fifth round, he's with the Rams, I'm not going to touch him. I backed off of Sammy Watkins once he got traded to the Rams.
So we had this entire conversation, and our friend Tracy Hankin, who's on the show last hour as well, she heard this.
Huh?
She heard this conversation.
Oh, no.
I know what you're thinking.
I was like, what?
So she emailed me and wanted to remind you, Matt, of this. Sammy Watkins has a long history of injuries, and most are serious. He's been forced to miss games, and he doesn't tend to play through the injuries like some other players, like Julio Jones. In 2014, he played every game, but played through rib, groin, and hip injuries. 2015, played in 13 games, dealt with calf, ankle, and hamstring problems. 2016, played week one, but the surgically repaired foot was incredibly painful and initially thought that he re-broke the foot. Scans came back clean, no damage. However, it continues to bother him, and he only played in 8 games. Last year, of course, was the first time since 2014 he played in all 16 games.
Okay, so now you have the 12th pick overall in the draft. Odell Beckham falls to you. Are you taking Odell Beckham?
I'm taking Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham is not who is. Odell Beckham is better than Sammy Watkins.
I understand. He's coming off.
One injury.
He came into the year.
This is a history of injuries right here.
I've read 3 years worth.
Look at the surgeries that this guy's had, though. I mean, this is not like nothing happened to him. He had the bad ankle. We were worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then
fractured it.
So, look, Julio Jones is always putting up the most yards or one of the top three every season.
Right.
He has a bad foot. I'm talking about a guy you're going to get a major discount on that could pop for you.
I'm buying it in double-digit rounds.
Look at Marvin Jones, what Marvin Jones was able to do this year.
Buy it in double-digit rounds. I'll buy it in double-digit rounds. I really would with Watkins, because I'll buy it in double-digit rounds.
I'll buy it in double-digit rounds. That's not costing me anything.
It's not costing me anything.
If I got to put something behind this guy. If it's the end of the seventh or the middle of the eighth round, I want to see who's there.
Yeah, of course.
And, you know, I'll base it off that. He should not be a fifth-round pick. He shouldn't be a sixth-round pick. I don't see how, if he's with the Rams, that's going to happen. But also, if they are going to franchise this guy, and you have McVay, you have to think they are going to find a way to utilize him. You have to also say, look, the guy came here.
They might just want him off the market.
They might
franchise him to keep him from going to San Francisco.
Correct.
I got to disagree because the cap space is too valuable. You can't do that.
Well, it's only 1 year. It's like, what, $13 million? That's doable.
Mm-hmm. If I'm looking to win a Super Bowl, I got to worry about my team.
And that is worrying about your team, though, because he's a good second wide receiver for you. And that's all he is. Take a break. We'll come back. Jay Bruce! He's now a member of the New York Mets again. We break down the contract and his fantasy value coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Last night, finally, a free agent shoe dropped. And that was Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce, who the Mets could not give away last year. Literally. They could not beg anybody to take this dude. And finally, they did. He went to the Indians for seemingly nothing because they paid the most, right? Like
they'll be trying to trade him again come August.
The Yankees wanted him. They had back and forth conversations. Nothing happened. And ultimately, he winds up to the Indians because the Indians were willing to pay more. And I give more prospect wise, simply pay more. So Jay Bruce ends up going to Cleveland, has a good year, good playoffs. He's a free agent again. And where does he wind up? Right back in New York with the Mets. And the rumor was he wasn't comfortable in New York. He wasn't happy here. Well, 3 years and $39 million changes that. He has a five-team no-trade clause. Mm-hmm. So a little minimal there.
He'd have been happy if he played for the Yankees instead of the Mets.
Probably.
Yep. That would have been a perfect ballpark for him, too.
Probably.
That was suited right up his alley.
But nevertheless, Jay Bruce heads back to Flushing.
And I think what's more telling with the Jay Bruce signing is Dominic Smith. I don't think the Mets have any faith in this kid. When you see a young player that out of shape or that kind of a body, and you're a professional athlete, I got to question it. Hopefully, he's still young and he does have a hip tool. I just don't know if he's James Loney, which isn't anything to be excited about.
No.
So, but I don't mind this. Jay Bruce has been the same player. You know what you're basically going to get. 250, it's like Scott said, 250, 30. You look at the strikeout percentage, the walk percentage. One thing he did do last year, he cut down on the ground balls. Fly ball percentage went up, and the hard hit rate did go up. So those are good trends for him. The Mets need a bat, so it's not the worst thing in the world. And Michael Conforto isn't going to be ready for opening day. Probably sometime May. Who knows? Maybe even June.
Who knows?
Before he comes back.
Yeah.
So they're going to need that bat in there. Once Conforto's healthy, though, God forbid they pull this nonsense again.
Sure.
I mean, Terry's out of town finally.
Yep.
So
we need to put Conforto on the list when we do inside injuries.
Yes,
we do. That's good. That's good.
That's an excellent call, Corey.
That's a good one.
But yeah, Jay Bruce is the back of the baseball card guy. 245, 30 home runs, yada, yada. It's nothing exciting about Jay Bruce, but he gets it done. He's a workmanlike.
Here are a couple of players going in Jay Bruce's ADP. This is the ADP since it started, so I didn't like narrow it down, but Adam Duvall's going 166. Nomar Mazara's going 168. Jay Bruce going 172. So in that range. I would go with Mazara out of all three. He's got, he's younger. He's got a lot of upside. I think this kid does have a hit tool. He's just got to get better versus lefties, and that's where I'd go in that route.
Okay, so fair enough there. If Conforto ever does ultimately come back, you have Bruce. There could be some first base opportunities for Jay Bruce there. And you mentioned the Mets' new manager, Mickey Callaway. Of course, he was a pitching coach in Cleveland where Jay Bruce just was. So there's a familiarity with the Mets organization, a familiarity with his manager, his new manager. So
I'm very excited about Mickey Callaway. And there's one thing about Jay Bruce that he said when he first came here, he did not want to come to the Mets. And then after spending time with the team, and then when he came back into last offseason, he was dedicated. He wanted to show New York how good he was,
right?
All that kind of stuff. So I think he did get comfortable here. That's why he re-signed. I mean, I don't know how many other offers he was getting, but it's not the worst thing. It's not the best thing. It's got to be Mike Moustakas, though. We need a third baseman. David Wright's not coming back.
See how Matt didn't fall for that the way Scott always did?
Correct. Like whenever Matt just talked through it.
He just goes right through it. Scott would have had to stop and be like, you go to the fake warrior, and then it would have started. You feel what I'm saying? And I can't help that. Scott had to, he had to be put down. Well, not put down, but what I mean.
We talk to Scott every morning here on the Road.
Yes, he's alive.
I do like how he was yelling at you, saying, this is my segment.
Anyway, so Jay Bruce, back to the Mets. You heard his fantasy value about 172 right now off the board. So that is, what round is 172?
172 in a 15-teamer is actually like the early 12th.
Okay,
so cool. I can do that.
That's probably where he belongs.
Yeah, you're looking at guys like this. That's the 14th round or so for 12 teamers. Kind of guys. I mean, Kyle Schwarber right now is going a couple of rounds later.
Okay.
And I'd rather go with Schwarber.
I'd rather go with Schwarber. I think
this kid is going to hit at some point.
Yeah.
He's still young. His problem is he really shouldn't be on the field right now because he's not a good defender at all.
Right. So that makes sense. I thought this was interesting, a note from Ken Rosenthal, actually, just a little while ago, in regards to the Mets.
You ever met Ken Rosenthal?
I've met Ken Rosenthal, yes.
Very short.
Yes.
He is.
No, vertically challenged.
Oh, yeah, I'm correct. Sorry. Sorry.
So here you go with Ken Rosenthal on Jay Bruce. It comes from last night through this morning. Astros considered Jay Bruce a fallback option if they traded an outfielder off their roster, Derek Fisher, for instance, in the Gerrit Cole deal. Obviously, it didn't happen. The Mets stepped up, gave Bruce what he wanted. That's 3 for $39 million. The deal is backloaded. $10 million in 2017, $14.5 million in 2018, 14.5 million in 2019, $14.5 million in 2020. Not crazy numbers.
The Mets will be eating half of that backloaded contract and trading him somewhere else.
Yes, they will. And this is the one that came about 45 minutes ago this morning. He said, it'll be interesting to see if Jay Bruce's career on-base percentage, which is .321, leads the Mets to pursue a bigger on-base threat with their next move. Moustakas, who even a big advocate for, is a career .305 on-base hitter. .314 in 2017. He's not that type of guy. Todd Frazier, a career .321 on-base percentage, .344 last year. He's not that type of guy. It sounds like Ken Rosenthal does not expect him to pursue Mike Moustakas or Todd Frazier next.
Okay, here's the thing. I mean, Todd Frazier and Mike Moustakas to me aren't even comparable anymore. Mike Moustakas is a kid that it took a few years for him to get his game going. And right now he's prime. You saw what he did last season. I mean, the Yankees is the ideal situation for Mike Moustakas. He hit 30 home runs. His home park, it was not a home run park at all. And you put him in the Bronx with that short porch and right. And I think, you know, the sky's the limit for him there. For the Mets, David Wright, I love him, the captain, Mr. Met, and all that. And it seems like a quality human being. It's a shame what happened to him. He's not coming back. This is a kid who's like 29 years old, Moustakas.
29 years old.
I would give him the, you know, when you're going to have to go out, whatever, a 4 or 5 year deal. This is the guy that can step in and fill that role that's desperately needed, that the Mets need. This is a New York franchise that's operating like the Kansas City Royals.
Do you believe that it makes sense for the Mets to sign him?
Cincinnati Bengals.
Do you believe it's because, as Rosenthal says, given the on-base percentage, okay, you guys get on-base. You'll be so frustrated by Moustakas a month in.
But, okay, Moustakas, too, we got to look at the transformation he's made in the last year or two. He did suffer the injury the previous year. He's not the same player he was a couple of years ago. Okay, whatever, last year he had the .314. But I think the Mets could live with .314, 30-plus home runs,
okay,
a .275 hitter, a very good defender at third. You know, you got to take the whole thing in. And maybe he gets even better next year.
Bob Nightingale reported last night as well that the Giants were also heavily in on Jay Bruce. We had heard that throughout the offseason. They're trying to improve their outfield.
They need a corner outfield. I don't know what the hell they're waiting for.
So they're super in on Jay Bruce, but it sounds like their focus at the moment is actually on Andrew McCutchen with Pittsburgh.
I think that makes total sense. You do want to get McCutchen there. If I'm the Giants, you still got some pieces here. And I think you got to make the run. I just don't think they don't have the farm system to make these trades. I don't know how they're getting McCutchen, but I would, you know, if you can get McCutchen and Billy Hamilton, this really changes this team. I don't know if Hunter Pence, you know, who wants the Iron Man of baseball, you know, you get old, you know, the body breaks down. Unless you're, you know, got the clear and the cream and other
sure.
stuff like that.
Sure.
Usually the body's going to start to break down. But you still got a Buster Posey. You got Bumgarner. Bumgarner and stuff. So you have players here. You can still make a run. I just don't know if they have the ammunition.
There you go. And I don't know if they have the ammunition either. I was actually looking at Madison Bumgarner yesterday, just like to see what he did after the injury.
Oh, but see, that's the thing. Like Madison, it was. People are going to say, well, they're going to look fantasy wise and say, well, look, if Madison Bumgarner didn't earn. Madison Bumgarner got hurt on a non-related baseball injury. He went all country on himself.
Sure.
Went flying off of ATV, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe he rushed himself back to get to the team because he hurt himself doing something outside of baseball.
Sure.
He was never the same. I'm going to give him the mulligan. He's actually younger than Chris Sale and mm-hmm. Steven Strasburg.
And also, as you can talk about the mulligan and talk about what you're giving him, it still wasn't that bad of a year.
It wasn't, you know, he
wasn't where he was drafted for.
But you have to, you know, you have to consider the injuries he suffered, ribs, and, you know, he got really hurt. I mean, he suffered a severe injury. And like I said, I think he was I don't know if the word embarrassed is right, but he wanted to
get
back on that field. And this guy, for me, it's a mulligan. He's still, at worst, a top six pitcher.
I get it. I completely get it. I'm still in on Madison Bumgarner in 2018. Let's take a break here. We'll come back. A lot of NBA news to talk about from last night, so we'll take a look at that. We'll also preview tonight's short slate in the NBA as well. Stick around. More Roto Experts hanging out with you right after this.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back now here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's talk a little NBA, shall we?
Oh, it seems like the show longer today.
You have another hour and a half, man.
No.
Sorry that it's such a tough day for you.
No. It's not you. It's me. You know, it's me. It's my fault. Shout out to yeah, a little something. Shout out to Brad Evans and Stefania Bell going into the FS going into the Hall of Fame.
FSWA.
Going into the FSWA Hall of Fame. They're the new nominees for this year. So shout out to Stefania Bell. And to Brad Evans, good jobs. Congratulations to them. Also, shout out to Robert Latall.
He was adopted into the Big Baller Brand?
I think he's trying to get LaVar Ball to adopt him. I really do think he's trying to get LaVar Ball to adopt Robert Latall. So if you can get that message to Robert Latall, we're going to send him, as a company, we're going to send him to Lithuania since we found out the flight is not that long.
Good.
Anything else, Greg?
I'm asking you. You were going off there.
I have no more shout outs right now.
Okay.
Let's give a second shout out to Sweet Lou Williams for that
night. A second shout out to Sweet Lou Williams last night, who puts up a 50 burger against Golden State.
Against my dubs.
In Golden State, leading the Clippers to a 125-106 victory without Blake Griffin, of course, in the lineup, without Milos Teodosic, without Patrick Beverley.
They were still a massive underdog. I mean, I know Curry didn't play and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what the final line was, but like in the afternoon, they were like 14 points.
Oh, yeah. No Gallinari, of course. Yeah. They're massive underdogs, and
you
they crushed
the
them.
With the money line. You came up last night, Jack, and that was a risky thing to do right there. But you see this the Warriors, it looks like the Warriors, when you look at their stat sheet, it looks like the night before they probably went out and was partying as a team.
Potentially so. And again, there's no Clay or Steph Curry. Two of the best three players in play. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to forget about that. CJ Williams gets hurt for the Clippers in this one, which could mean even more Tyrone Wallace. Wallace off the bench for the Clippers. 34 minutes of action, 22 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists there. DeAndre Jordan had 10 and 12. For the Dubs, Kevin Durant, underratedly, 40 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists.
Well, when Sweet Lou put up 50, it's going to be a little bit difficult to overlook that. But you look at what Kevin Durant did last night. 14 and 18 from the field. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. 6-7 from 3-pointers. Kevin Durant. And then did he hit the 20,000?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Youngest, one of the youngest at 20,000. I think it's like him, MJ.
Yeah, it's
LeBron.
Rarefied air.
Yeah, it's people that's in the Hall of Fame. You feel what I'm saying? So shout out to Kevin Durant for that right there. He got it done. But you talked about Greg, the dude you just talked about off the bench. Wallace.
I was talking about Tyrone Wallace.
Yeah, he came up strong last night playing that 34 minutes, so he's interesting. DeAndre Jordan is a player, though. Had that double-double last night. I'm just not a DeAndre Jordan fan. I don't like them commercials with him.
The other national game yesterday evening was between the Minnesota Timberwolves and the OKC Thunder. The T-Wolves dominated the Thunder 104-88 with Jimmy Butler leading the way. 26 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks, 4 steals. That's a full line. He did not have a single foul on
him. Yeah, I got to give him credit because he did not want to go to Cleveland. He did not.
Well, he's on Minnesota.
No, I know. But
he didn't want to play for Cleveland.
He didn't want to go there. Yeah. He was in Minnesota. This is... This is a fun young team. You know, this is a team that I'm going to root for Minnesota and Houston to come out of the West. I know it's going to be Golden State or like, you know, San Antonio for the run, but
right.
I'm a little tired of that.
Sure.
I want some new blood.
Absolutely.
And so, yeah, Minnesota, I'm always rooting for the underdog.
Jimmy Butler's brought everything that they needed in Minnesota to this team, everything that was expected when they traded for him. He's done it. Carl Anthony Towns.
JB's amazing.
Has 18 and 12, while Andrew Wiggins had, you know, empty 19. Taj Gibson.
Played 42 minutes, Andrew Wiggins.
He does. He plays a lot of minutes. He just shoots.
My God.
So Jeff Teague also returned to the lineup here for the first time in a couple of weeks. Remember, he's been out with a knee injury. Teague returns and plays 26 minutes in that return with 8 points. Tyus Jones, just 19 minutes off the bench. He had 3 points total. If you have Tyus Jones, you can safely drop him now with the return of Jeff
Teague. I would make sure that T doesn't have a setback.
Okay.
You don't want to send him out there, but Tyus Jones, when Jeff Teague is out, Tyus Jones solid. Is, yes, that's a good word to use, solid.
Did either of you see the end of that Houston-Portland game?
No.
I did not know.
It seems like, you know, Chris Paul and Lillard had some words because of his, end, you know, his layup at the end. I was just wondering if anybody saw it.
I did not see that. We'll get to that game in just a second. Russell Westbrook has 38 and 10, 5 assists, 4 steals for Westbrook. PG 13, 13, 6 and 4, and Melo had 15 points and 1 rebound.
This, what do you think about the distribution of these shots last night? Carmelo Anthony going 2-for-8 from the 3-point line. I do not like that. I don't want you taking 8 3-pointers, Carmelo.
This is Melo ball.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. This is Melo ball.
This is Melo
right
ball.
Here. 19 shots as opposed to 14. Listen, their rotation of shots is getting better as far as who's shooting the ball and how many shots people are getting. But Carmelo Anthony taking 8 threes should not happen on this team.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Paul putting up, you know, 37, 11, and 7. That's pretty...
Chris Paul for Houston in the 121-112 win for the Rockets does put up 37, 11, and 7 in a big-time performance from him. 13 of 29 from the field. That is a lot of shots for Chris Paul.
Yeah, it is a lot of shots for Chris Paul. And this is
3 of 11 behind the arc.
Yeah, shooting 11 3-pointers, right?
That's between him and Melo, they were like 5 for 20.
Exactly, from taking these 3-pointers. It's not really their game, but he did drop 37 last night. Let me tell you something about... Has Chris Paul ever won anything?
No.
Nothing. Mm-mm. Has he been out the first round of the playoffs?
Yes.
Once.
The Clippers made it to the...
Yeah. They did had a deep run one
deep
year.
Deep run once. That was it.
This guy's a fraud.
Why don't you like Chris Paul?
I'm just not a Chris Paul guy.
Clearly.
Are you not a Chris Paul guy?
Huh?
Are you a Melo guy?
I like Carmelo Anthony as a person.
What about as a player?
As a player, he's not my favorite right now at this stage of his career. But as a person, I like him. And I wish him nothing but the best. Chris Paul, as a person... rubbed me the wrong way.
30 points for Eric Gordon last night. Clint Capella 13 and 9 off the bench. Just an 8-man rotation last night for Mike D'Antoni.
Oh my Lord.
Gerald Green had 12 and 6 for assists. And your boy Trevor Ariza did not score in 39
donut.
Minutes of action.
Played 39 minutes and put up a donut.
And just real quick, go back to Lou Williams. I mean, what?
You're really jumping around.
I know, but I meant to say it before and it slipped my mind. He's what, like second in the league with 40-point games this year?
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's going to be an all-star this
should
year
be.
For the first time in his career.
I just wanted to bring that back.
He should be an all-star. We're going to be doing a bit of an all-star preview show tomorrow on the network cool. At, I believe, 2 p.m. Eastern. Myself, Frank Stanfield, Chris Meaney, and Gary and Thorne.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes, not you, in case you were wondering.
It's like the Brat Pack of SNL.
The Brat Pack.
That is.
Damian Lillard, 29 points, 8 assists, 5 rebounds in his return. We talked about him with Tracy Hankin. Says he's not completely healthy yet. It's going to take a couple more weeks to get there, but he's back playing. CJ McCollum, his backcourt mate, he had 24 and 6. Evan Turner, 18 and 3. My man Joe Nurkic, just 8 and 8 in 21 minutes.
You expect a little bit more from
Nurkic. Yes, I do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. Yesterday morning, as we were previewing the slate, one game we really liked a lot was Milwaukee and Orlando, and they didn't do it. They only got up to 213, so that would have been under the point total for the evening. As Eric Bledsoe, who I really liked, at 15 and 5, Malcolm Brogdon, really nice game, 14, 9, and 7, especially for his price. They were led by Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 26. John Henson with a double-double, 14 and 10, while Chris Middleton led 22. All 5 Bucks starters in double digits last night. For the Orlando Magic, 21 from Evan Fournier. Bismack Biyombo had 14 and 9. Aaron Gordon returned to the starting lineup with 11. Johnny Simmons also was healthy. He played 21 minutes at 7 points. Elfrid Payton, 21 minutes, 6 points. Herzogna Super Mario, 13 points off the bench.
Look at the distribution of the minutes on this team. As everybody gets a shot. This is like CYO. This is like a CYO team.
We're going down to the Y.
This is like a CYO team.
Yeah.
Amazing.
There's just no continuity here.
Yeah. This is a rec league. The rec league magic.
I mean, they were down like 18 points or 17 points at halftime. And then it only got worse.
Bad look.
Yeah, the Magic are a bad team. I don't know what to tell you. A good team is the Indiana Pacers, but they fell last night to Miami, 114-106. The Pacers were led by 26-7 from Victor Oladipo, 4 assists, 3 steals. They're 18-7 from my man Sabonis. Remember, no Miles Turner, as I said last night. Bojan Bogdanovic had 15-6, while Thaddeus Young put up 12-9. Born Ready, Lance Stevenson at 15-8 off the bench.
Born Ready. I love Lance.
Is Miami like kind of caught in that middle?
I think so.
In the NBA, like we just don't want to be.
I think so.
Get lucky in the lottery.
You gotta get lucky in the lottery because their team is going to make the playoffs as a 6, 7, 8 seed, have no chance of going anywhere, and ultimately will fall. The bench, you talk about bench, just Corey. 8 guys played total in this one. All 3 guys off the bench for Miami all played at least 30 minutes last night. Every single one of them. And they all scored exactly 15 points.
They had that fight the night before, right?
They did.
Did that have something to do with it?
I don't think so.
No, just a lot of these do the coach's decision.
Just banged up. They're just banged up, I think.
Yeah, just banged up.
Yeah. Gordon Dragic had 20-9. Hassan Whiteside had a good game, 16-15 with 4 blocks here in this one. Josh Richardson had 14-4. Kelly Olynyk had 11.
Yeah, KO, Kelly Olynyk.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to see there, in my opinion. 2-for-4 from 3-point land for Kelly Odo.
Utah Jazz defeated the Washington.
Like to shoot threes.
Defeated the Washington Wizards 107-104. It's been a down year for the Jazz without Gordon Hayward.
Down year, and then the down year for the Washington Wizards should be better than this too. They should be playing a better brand of basketball, even though their record looks pretty decent right now.
At home too.
At home, yeah. But you look at it, big game from John Wall giving you 35. Bradley Beal chipping in 23, and then on the other side, you know, the usual suspects for the Rubio gave you 41 minutes,
yeah. 41 minutes for Ricky Rubio there. 21 points.
He only had 3 assists,
yeah, but don't
though.
The Jazz possibly have, like, the rookie of the year?
Donovan Mitchell, sure.
So, I mean,
Donovan Mitchell's been awesome. He's earned all those minutes. We talked a lot about him in recent weeks. Donovan Mitchell, I believe, had 16 points last night. And part of the reason Ricky Rubio...
This roster is horrible, too.
Part of the reason Ricky Rubio saw so many minutes is because Rodney Hood was ejected from this game after picking up 2 technical fouls, played just 15 minutes with 7 points and 6 rebounds.
Work, 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 work.
We'll take a break. We'll look at tonight's DFS slate in basketball. Stick around. The Roto Experts continues this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we're the Roto Experts. Tonight, if you're playing a little DFS basketball, it's a smaller slate. We talked about smaller slates versus bigger slates earlier this week, Court.
Yeah, small slate, you got to have that guy that goes off. So if you got somebody, if you're playing on a 4-game slate, say somebody scores 50, 60 fantasy points, if you don't have that person, it's going to be a long night.
4 games on the slate this evening. A nice little night in the early games, later games, not so much.
What we got? Because I'll probably be in the house tonight after last night. I need to take it easy.
Well, yeah, this afternoon, 3 p.m.
in London!
Sixers, yeah. And the Celtics.
Across the pond.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the price of the tickets. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets started at $323.
That's like
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Will you be having fish and chips this afternoon watching the game?
Nah, I'll probably go. It'll be on while I take a nap.
I'm looking forward to that one. I'm going to check that out downstairs in the control room. Celtics.
It'll be fun, yeah.
Celtics and the Sixers live on NBA TV from the O2 Arena. So that'll be fun. So that means, Corey.
It must be the Madison Square Garden in London.
It is the O2 Arena. It is.
Okay. Whose home court is that?
There's no, it's just their famous like arena for like music and concerts.
Oh, that's like if Beyonce went out there, she performed there.
Well, she may go to Wembley Stadium, but
yeah, because big audience.
Mm-hmm. But I just realized because that game's a three, there's only a 3-game slate tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Daily, the 3
it's not even
like
worth playing in a 3-game slate.
It's pretty much what you get. I mean, you got Lakers.
You got Lakers.
And Lou Williams.
Yeah,
Lou
Williams. Robert Latow. I'll be like, yeah, I can play Lonzo.
You have both LA teams playing tonight. You get the Lakers and the Spurs. So you don't really want to take the Lakers because of the slow pace
Spurs. Especially the Spurs are going to beat them down.
They are. So Davis Bertans could be a guy, especially if Kawhi Leonard doesn't play again and Danny Green doesn't play again. So I think Davis Bertans is somebody that you could consider for the Spurs tonight.
Kyle Lowry is probably out tonight.
Kyle Lowry is expected to be out, which means Delon Wright could be an option for you as the Raptors in the marquee game of the evening on TNT at 8 p.m. You have the Raptors and the Cavs going at it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. LeBron James, I think this is the 2-3, then it's three, and the second seed and the third seed currently in the Eastern Conference get an early matchup up there at the
Air Canada Center.
There you go. Thank you very much.
How comfortable are you playing Isaiah?
I don't think you can be. Those 19 minutes aren't enough.
Not until you get a full complement of minutes. You kind of got to leave him. You don't know when that game is going to come, though.
Now, let me ask you, being that such a short, such a small slate, is he maybe everybody stays away?
This slate is not worth it.
I get what you're trying to say. Be contrary, try to win a tournament or not.
Yeah.
But 19 minutes isn't going to do it. 19 minutes is just not going to do it for me. As we said, so you have the Cavs and the Raptors, Clippers and the Kings. The Kings rotation, much like the Magic rotation, is a mess right now. You have no idea who's going to start ever for this team. We don't know if George Hill will play yet or not. De'Aaron Fox could get another start for Sacramento.
Yeah, that's about it, really. I don't think you can find anything in this matchup either right here. Maybe if you want to go in on the Clip joint, but that's on coming on the second night of a back-to-back after a big win like that last night. I don't think I'm doing that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't like it.
I don't know. We're harping on how small.
You would have to hammer that Cleveland Toronto game and maybe try to pick up a piece or two out of San Antonio.
Yeah, I agree. And Lou Williams.
Yeah, exactly. And
Lou Williams is an answer. I mean, we talked about.
He put up 50 last night, though, you know. But he's a young man.
He's a young man, Rumble. That would be crazy, though. He put up 100 points in 2 nights.
That'd be wild.
He put up 50, of course, last night. And as we said, Tyrone Wallace, I thought, could be somebody also. CJ Williams doesn't play. We don't know about Blake Griffin's availability. Yeah. We don't know about Teodosic.
You can look at it that way. Lineup Block will have you covered right here, 6 p.m. Eastern. Mm-hmm. Tony and Dane will break down the injuries. On a short slate like today, injuries are going to be key to finding value in a 3-game slate. But me, myself, personally, I would not play this slate.
In the matchups, I like Tyrone Wallace against the Kings. I like Juwan Evans potentially against the Kings as well. Both these guys for the Clippers could have some value given all of the injuries that they're going through. Yeah. So those are two guys like
particularly Evans. That's a good. I like Evans.
Yeah, and as you're pretty much talking about this kind of a small slate,
Oklahoma State.
Isn't it, you know, looking ahead to the weekend in football, and like FanDuel's not even offering a 4-game slate?
Yeah, let's get into that here for a moment, which I think is really, really interesting. So you got 4 games on, obviously. Division round, we say it's the best weekend of the year. FanDuel's not offering an opportunity to play the full weekend slate. Why?
I guess they want you to get action on Saturday and Sunday and not have the whole weekend sweat. I don't know. Maybe they'll release some contests later on in the week. We still got time. I do find that odd and intriguing, but they're going to still get action on the weekend games. We're just going to be on that one day.
I want to look and see if DraftKings is going to offer the 4-game slate.
I'm sure they probably will.
Are you more apt to play the 4-game slate than the 2-game slate?
I mean, I want to have at least, like we said, this is the best weekend. This is the last chance to have, you know, this many teams in it. So I think it's definitely more fun to play, you know, the 2-game slate. It's like the 3-game slate in basketball.
Pretty much. It makes it much tighter. That 2-game slate, there's literally only 4 teams you can choose from. So it's...
Your contrarian options
are limited.
And you got to be careful, too.
Get in Nick Foles.
Dudes that know how, like dudes that got these algorithms and really care about it and stuff like that, they can be able to put together multiple combinations of lineups, and then they're just going to hammer you anyway. So That's what you got to look at it too when you got a short slate like that, because it's like a lot of nerds.
Yeah, aren't you more apt to play cash games?
Yeah, I would think that would be the case. But then you got all those nerds out there with these algorithms that can just put it together, and then you just are not going to have no shot. It's not for the weak at heart.
No,
I can't believe it's Boston and Philadelphia and London tonight afternoon.
Good game.
$300 to get in that joint out there. Do they like basketball that much in London?
At least we'll find out.
I wonder what the most expensive ticket in this joint is. Say you won't sit like in Celebrity Row where the fantasy executives sit. Like, you know, that area where they come and take pictures of you and the security be like, stand back, think fantasy executive coming through. I wonder how much it costs to sit over there. I got, what's today's date?
Today's January 11th, and I'm glad you brought that up, because on this day in history...
That's a nice segue, Greg.
Thank you. In sports history, what famous football... Yesterday we had the catch. You know what today was? 1987.
Could this be
the drive?
This is the drive. That's correct, Matt Modica. That's yesterday correct. We had the catch. Today, John Elway completes the drive for Denver in 1987.
Poor Browns.
Poor Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns.
It really is poor Cleveland Browns. I mean,
for
you
years.
Had the drive, then you had the fumble.
Mm-hmm. Then you had Hugh.
And a whole bunch of da-da-da-da-da-da in between, too. Nothing good
in
between.
They even lost the team.
Yeah, that's right. They did. The team lost and came back. Yeah. And the team they lost ended up being the damn Baltimore Ravens who won Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
That sucks, man.
Sure does. On this day in history, 1999, Marty Schottenheimer resigned as the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Nothing. Best of luck to Marty. Yeah. He's going through some stuff.
Oh, yeah. We wish Marty well, then.
Marty was Norv and Wade before Marty.
You're right.
Wade
that was exactly.
That was Marty.
Where's his boy at now?
Brian? I believe Brian is like the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach at Georgia. I want to say Georgia, to be honest with you. Or he was at Georgia. Hold on. The Colts. I think he's the quarterback coach of the Colts. Correct.
All right.
Quarterback
so
coach.
To Brian.
He probably doesn't have a job anymore.
No, it was for the guy he was coaching is in Europe, getting his blood spun at the O2 Arena.
So he was the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach for Georgia. I was correct about that.
Which quarterback did he coach at Georgia? What year was he there?
2015. Who's the quarterback before Jake Fromm?
I couldn't tell you.
Who the quarterback was before Jake Fromm? Because it was after Aaron Murray, right?
Yeah.
I think.
All right. So shout out to Brian Schottenheimer.
I think.
Staying employed.
Okay. So there you go. So that's Brian Schottenheimer. Also on this day
in what else happened?
History, 2004.
Oh, 2004.
4th and 29.
Oh, Fast
that
Freddie Mitchell.
Fred X.
Fast Freddie Mitchell.
I still can't believe that.
Dude, we was talking about that game a couple weeks ago. That was so wild. Brett Favre threw that after that 4th and 29. They got that first down. They got the ball back. Then Brett Favre threw the worst interception in the history of the NFL. I had to look away from the TV, and I just see the Philadelphia Eagles stand. Like, it was like a fair catch. That's how bad an interception Brett Favre threw. Like, the defender was like a fair catch. Like, it was legit a punt. Terrible, terrible, terrible interception by Brett Favre. But that's a great moment in Philadelphia Eagle history. One of the few.
It was. The 4th and 29. That wasn't Fred X was a thing.
Yeah, Fred X was a thing. Remember he caught it and he got up and he did the thing like putting the belt around his own waist.
Man, he was really good at UCLA.
Yeah, he was terrible in the NFL.
Yeah, it never translated.
You know, that receiving core is actually amazing if you think back to it.
Trash,
right?
Stinks.
James Thrash, that's right. Freddie Mitchell, Hank Baskin.
Ooh,
remember that? Kendra Wilkinson, I believe.
Yeah.
Right?
And then he did some other things, but we'll
he has some history. He has history of... Let's keep it pushing.
So, yeah.
No emails.
Those wide receivers were not good for Philadelphia.
Then they got T.O.
And they got T.O., exactly. I thought did you always think Freddie Mitchell was going to become, like, a thing?
I did. I mean, as a fan of the Bruins, I thought, you know, but... He'll always have that catch.
He'll always have the catch. And then he went to the Super Bowl, and it became like Fred X. It was a thing.
He was a thing. People liked him. He marketed himself well.
Very, very well.
He marketed himself well. Shout out to Freddie Mitchell.
Very, very, very well.
The people's champ, Freddie Mitchell.
Yeah.
4th and 29.
And that's
like the greatest moment in Philadelphia Eagle history. A wild card win.
They got like the Rocky statue.
Like, that's the day Fred Mitchell Who's that? Somebody's a new voice in my ear.
When it's we Jack. So when we come back,
I told you it's 10 of them down there.
We're going to talk to the All In kid, Jake Seeley, see what he has to say. What is his opinion on the Sammy Watkins thing, and find out where Dijik stands. Also, by the way, I know we mentioned it off the air. I do want to mention on the air. The Los Angeles Chargers new kicker, Roberto Aguayo. One more go around here.
That's insane.
It's the best.
It really is. The team that always has problems with kickers.
Right. You know, you got a really accurate college kicker. It's not a really accurate NFL kicker. That's the difference. Sorry, Matt.
Shout out Robert Aguayo. He's keeping a job.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, the All-In Kid joins us, and we'll set you up and find out what's coming up next on the Fantasy Frenzy. Stick around. The Roto Experts wraps up right after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Program here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Jake Seeley, the All-In Kid, joins the program right now. What's going on, Jakey Jakey?
What's up? I'm celebrating that wonderful signing by the Mets this morning.
You seem very depressed about it.
Is Jake draped in velvet today? You got a little velvet sweater going on?
It's just a regular sweater. It's not a velvet.
Why are you so upset about Jay Bruce, dude?
Because he's Jay Bruce, the Mets had, like, who's going to play center field now? Is it going to be Cespedes? Is it going to be Conforto? It's just, Jay Bruce is going to hit 230 and 30 home runs. They could have found better. And the report this morning by Jerry Krasnick is that the fact that the free agents, not the teams, the players, are starting to get antsy. And that's why Jay Bruce signed that deal under market of what he thought he would get. So the point being is that they actually ended up kind of overpaying, which is typical Mets. They have no money and they found a way to overpay anyway.
Interesting, because everyone else on Twitter said they felt it was like a reasonably priced deal. You're the only one I've ever heard said they overpaid that.
No, that's the point. It's reasonably priced.
Okay.
But Krasnick's report this morning is nobody should be getting reasonable prices. Like,
right.
Jay Bruce getting
right,
a reasonable
right.
price is kind of surprising, especially when he's basically the first one off the board.
I gotcha. That makes sense.
It's saturated, you know,
I gotcha.
Power is in.
Mm-hmm. I understand. That makes sense, Jake.
But it's the Mets.
It is the Mets. We know that.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to throw this out at you. We talked a lot this morning about if Sammy Watkins is franchise tagged by the Rams, as kind of reported and expected now. What does this do for his value? Are you back in on Sammy Watkins at any price next year?
Back in, would you assume you was ever in the first place?
Probably some point in the last 4 years, you probably were in.
No, I've never been on Sammy. I've never wanted, like, Sammy Watkins' rookie season. I had him up there in the conversation with Odell Beckham, Mike Evans, and actually had him in front of Odell Beckham for that draft.
Yeah,
because
of course.
A lot of people did the same thing.
Yeah.
Understandably so at the time. But the thing with Sammy Watkins, after that point, the price from day one has always been too high for me. That's the biggest issue with him, is he's got plenty of potential, hasn't had the greatest situations to deal with, that's fair, but he's also not been able to really fulfill on his talent and his promise. And it's just, I don't know if it's the fit so far, I don't know if it's the quarterback plays, I don't know. Part of it, what we saw this year, is him a little bit at times. I'm not excited about him being back with the Rams. I think there's a team that he can be better fit on, maybe as the true number one, where he's getting 140 targets over a season. That would make me feel better about Sammy Watkins, and then I could get in on him. back with the Rams. Robert Woods has kind of taken over as the number one. I know Watkins' talent should surpass Woods, but you have Kupp, who's a terrific rookie. I love Kupp, not as much as Scott does, but I love Kupp as much as most people. And if you look at that, I just don't see where you're going to get volume where you can consistently say, hey, he's somebody I want, and then he gets shut down by top-end corners.
So there you go. Would you like to...
No, but I think he's going to be depressed. And look, I do want to see him leave the Rams. I do want to see him have the option to be a number one wide receiver. And like I said, you got to look at the guys, where they fall, where he ends up, what his price is. I mean, Marvin Jones Jr. was a guy this year was a 9th, 10th round pick and put up a hell of a season.
Corey, what's coming up next on the Frenzy?
Coming up next on the Fantasy Foot. Oh, excuse me, on the Fantasy
Frenzy.
Excuse me.
No problem.
We will.
Old habits die hard.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Did it for a long time.
No problem.
We will start to get ready for this weekend's AFC matchups in the division round, kind of break that down. The four teams going at it this weekend, try to get you some information for DFS and, you know, just talk about the games in general. Also, we will also get back to that FSTA slow draft that's going on. Probably take the next 5 players in that draft as we come towards the end of round one. Break those down, have the gentlemen break those down. And, you know, we'll have a good time. Telephone lines will be open, the Goon Squad, the whole thing.
Hey, Jake, speaking of DFS, any idea why FanDuel's not doing any 4-game slate this weekend? Just one on Saturday, one on Sunday?
I'm in a 4-game slate on FanDuel.
I just heard they were, unless that changed. That's,
all right, well,
that's who's out there.
Thank you for the update, Jakey.
It was on Twitter, and people seemed pretty pissed. Jake's
maybe there was an error, and they pulled them for, and they had to fix something. I don't know. I can look at my, I have my lineup right here. I have a 4-game slate lineup right here.
So maybe we'll get an update from Jake then. That's awesome.
Might be an error last night.
All right, cool. All right, for Jake Seeley, for Corey Parson, and for Matt Modica, for Chris Ventura, and Donnie Burns downstairs, appreciate the help. My name is Greg Sussman. Roto Experts wraps up the week tomorrow. We hope to have you there. Have a great one, everybody. We will see you then. Bye-bye.